Chapter 5. A Death. 6. Marion Halcombe's narrative continued.
20th of June. Laura and I have no father or brother to protect us. Our dearest friend Walter is in Central America, where no letter can reach him. Mr. Gilmore is ill and is staying with relatives in Germany. Our uncle Frederick Fairley is a lazy hypochondriac, but he is also our only hope. This afternoon I wrote him a letter asking if we could return to Limeridge House. After dinner, Percival said to the Count,
I want to talk to you in private.
The Count replied,
Later, when the ladies are asleep.
I said that I had a headache and went up to my room earlier than usual. I thought to myself, I must hear their conversation. I took off my dress and put on a simple cloak. I climbed out of the window and moved along a narrow ledge to the library roof where I sat down. There I could hear the voices of Sir Percival and the Count through the open windows.
Percival, we are now at a financial crisis,
said the Count.
I owe hundreds of pounds. You owe thousands. We must find the money to pay those debts. Recently you've acted very foolishly. Can't you see that Miss Halcombe has more intelligence than most men? She is a noble creature, full of strength and courage, and she'll use it all to protect that foolish little wife of yours. Now, explain to me about your wife's money.
Sir Percival said,
It's very simple. While my wife lives, I get £3,000 a year, but that's not enough to pay my debts.
And if she dies?
Asked the Count.
If she dies without children, I'll get £20,000.
Ah,
said the Count.
The rain has come at last.
He was right. Up on the roof I was getting wet, but I had to hear their conversation to the end.
Do you love your wife, Percival?
Asked the Count.
What a question!
If she dies, you get £20,000.
Yes, and your wife gets £10,000,
cried Sir Percival.
Don't forget that. Anyway, the money isn't my only problem. I have a secret.
Don't tell me the secret. Just tell me who knows it.
My wife knows it, and a drawing teacher called Walter Hartwright knows it. I know that Hartwright's left the country. He's in love with my wife, and she loves him too. Anyway, the important thing is that they know the secret. Anne Catherick knows it, and she hates me. I'm sure she told them. I've tried to find her, but I can't.
What does she look like?
Asked the Count.
I saw a woman by the lake, but I only saw her from behind.
She looks like my wife. She's not as pretty, and she's very ill, but still she looks very similar.
Really?
Said the Count in surprise. He then smiled to himself and laughed.
Don't worry, Percival. You'll pay your debts, and you'll find Anne Catherick. I promise. Good night.
Up on the roof I was cold and wet. I moved slowly along the ledge to my bedroom window and climbed back in. I changed into dry clothes, lit a candle, and wrote down the conversation. But now I am ill. I have a fever. I cannot get ill now, when Laura needs me more than ever.
Note. Here the diary becomes impossible to read. On the next page another entry appears, but it is in a man's handwriting.
Postscript by a sincere friend. The illness of the excellent Miss Halcombe has given me the opportunity to read this interesting diary. There are hundreds of pages here, and I have read them all with pleasure. I admire Marion greatly, her intellect, graceful style, and courage. The description of my own character is brilliant. I'm sorry that our interests are opposed. And even though they are opposed, and even though I will be victorious, I want Miss Halcombe to know how much I admire her diary, and that nothing in it contributed to my victory and her failure. Fosco. 7. Eliza Mickelson's narrative.
I am the housekeeper at Blackwater Park, and I took care of Miss Halcombe when she was ill. During that time, Lady Glyde was so worried about her sister that she herself became ill and stayed in her room. One day, Sir Percival called me into his study and said,
I plan to leave Blackwater Park. As soon as Miss Halcombe and my wife are well enough, they'll go to stay with their uncle in Cumberland. Count Fosco and the Countess will soon go to their new house in London, and I'll go to Paris. Send away all the servants tomorrow. You'll stay to manage the house while I'm away.
The Count spent his days by the lake. I have no idea why. The next day, when the Count returned from the lake, I heard Sir Percival ask him,
Did you find her?
The Count did not reply, but he smiled. The next day was my day off. When I returned, Sir Percival told me that Count Fosco and the Countess had left for London. I then went to Lady Glyde's room to see how she was. She was still weak and depressed, and she asked me to take her to her sister's room. As we walked along the corridor, Sir Percival came up the stairs and said,
She's not there. She went to London with Count Fosco and the Countess. Then she'll go to your uncle in Cumberland.
That's impossible, cried Lady Glyde. She didn't tell me she was going or say goodbye. I must go to her immediately.
You must wait till tomorrow,
said Sir Percival.
I'll write to Fosco. He'll meet you at the station and take you to his house.
Lady Glyde began to shake.
I don't want to sleep in London, she said.
You must. The journey from here to Cumberland is too long to do in one day.
Lady Glyde was ready to leave the next morning. I took her to the station. When we got there, she suddenly seemed frightened.
I don't want to go alone, she said. You've been very kind to my sister and me. Thank you.
She looked so lonely as she said those words that my eyes filled with tears. Goodbye, my lady, I called as the train moved off. When I returned to Blackwater Park, Sir Percival said to me,
Go and see if Miss Halcombe is all right. She's in the guest room on the second floor.
Miss Halcombe? I cried.
Yes,
said Sir Percival.
I had to lie to Lady Glyde. You heard the doctor say that she needed fresh air. The only way to make her go to Cumberland was to tell her that her sister had already gone. It was done with the best of intentions.
Sir Percival, I said firmly, I can't work here any more. I'll stay until Miss Halcombe is well enough to leave, but then I must go. That night, Sir Percival left Blackwater Park. I never saw him again, and I hope I never will.
8. The Cook's Narrative.
I am the cook at Count Fosco's house in London. When the Count and Countess arrived from the countryside, they brought a guest with them, the Countess's niece, Lady Glyde. She was a pretty blonde lady with blue eyes, but she looked very weak. The day she arrived, she became very ill. Dr. Goodrick examined her and said,
This is a serious case of heart disease. Lady Glyde won't live much longer.
The next day she died. Dr. Goodrick registered the death, and my mistress made all the arrangements for the funeral. The dead lady's husband was out of the country, so my mistress arranged for the lady to be buried in her hometown in Cumberland, in the same grave as her mother. In conclusion, I'll answer two questions that Mr. Hartwright asked me. 1. I never saw Count Fosco give Lady Glyde any medicine. 2. He was never alone in the room with her.
9. The Doctor's Narrative.
I certify that Lady Glyde, aged 21, died on the 25th of July, 1850, at 5 Forest Road, London. The cause of death was heart disease. Signed, Dr. Alfred Goodrick.
10. The Gravestone's Narrative. Here lies Laura, Lady Glyde, wife of Sir Percival Glyde, born 27th of March, 1829. Married, 22nd of December, 1849. Died, 25th of July, 1850.